Mark Tegubin, hello friend, and greetings once again in the wonderful blessed name of our Lord Jesus Christ. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven, and giveth life unto the world. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. This is Bob Griggs with the Bread of Life broadcast, and we're delighted to have you joining us again for just a few moments together, a Bible study from the precious Word of the Eternal God. I invite you to get your Bible or New Testament and turn with me to the book of Ephesians. The book of Ephesians, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, and Ephesians. The book of Ephesians, a little short book that's often called the believer's handbook because it gives such practical instruction for we who know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. We're talking about the importance of God's Word and trying to emphasize how important God's Word is, how we need to read it daily, how we need to meditate upon it, how we need to hide the Word of God in our hearts that we might not sin against the Lord God, and how that the Word of God is our weapon. Reading God's Word and obeying it will give you a weapon to use against sin and against Satan. And here in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 17, we read these words, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Beloved, God's Word is the weapon with which we are to fight the enemy and to deal with the enemy. And it is sharper than any two-edged sword. If you'll turn with me to the book of Hebrews, chapter 4. Hebrews, chapter 4. Move on over toward the back of your Bible or your New Testament, and you'll run across the book of Hebrews. And in chapter 4 and verse 12, we read these words concerning the importance of God's Word in our life. For the Word of God is quick. The Word of God is quick. That is, it will penetrate. It will accomplish what it is used for as the sword of the Spirit. It is quick and powerful. Beloved, there's power in the Word of God. You remember in John 1, 1 through 3, in the beginning was the Word, capital W-O-R-D, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. He is before all things, we're told in Colossians. And by Him all things consist or hold together. The Word was made flesh, verse 14 of John 1 tells us. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And verse 17 of John 1 says, the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. And so we know who the Word is. The Word, the living Word, is the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have His written Word here that is powerful. The Lord spoke, Genesis chapter 1, and God said, and every time God spoke, we see that creation took place. The universe was created. The stars were put into their place in the galaxies of heaven. Our sun was created. Our moon was created. The earth was created. And then life was placed upon the planet Earth. And God created man in His likeness and in His image. And it occurred as God spoke. It's the power of God, beloved. The Word of God is powerful, and it's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Beloved, God's Word convicts us and it penetrates our hardened hearts. It gets all the way into our motives behind our actions, and it lays bare the motives of our soul and spirit. It's a discerner of the thoughts and even the intents, the motives of our hearts. And so we see, beloved, God's Word is powerful, and it is quick, and that's why we need to get into it and read it, because it is that which we need in our life, that our life might count for Christ, and that we might be everything that God would have us be to His glory and honor, and that we might stand against the enemy. If you'll go with me to the first book of the New Testament, the book of Matthew, and look with me at chapter 4, Matthew chapter 4. Beginning with verse 1, "Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil." The Holy Spirit led him to be tempted. I want you to notice that, beloved. The Holy Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, led Jesus right after His baptism, and the Spirit of God had descended from heaven and come to rest upon the Lord Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit led Him into the wilderness for the purpose to be tested and tried of Satan, that we might see that He has been tempted in all points as we are, yet without sin, we're told in the book of Hebrews. So Jesus was tested and proved to be indeed without sin. And when He had fasted, verse 2, when Jesus had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, He was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter, this is Satan himself, when the tempter came to Him, He said, "If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread." He was using the lust of the flesh to tempt the Lord Jesus Christ to make us a loaf of bread because He was hungry. But Jesus answered and said, "It is written." What did Jesus do? He drew the sword of God. He drew the Word of God. And He said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." By the truth of God. That's what we're to live by. Every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. For that is the truth, beloved. And Jesus said in John 8:32, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And beloved, God's Word is the truth. And that's why we need to read it. That's why we need to get into it. That ended the argument. The sword of the Spirit. The Lord used the sword of the Spirit against the devil. That ended the argument. Verse 5, "Then the devil taketh them up into the holy city, and setteth them on a pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written." Now notice, Satan's going to use the Word of God too. But what does Satan do? He twists the Word of God. He takes the Word of God and he pulls it out of context and tries to make the Word of God say something that it should not. Context is so important when we study God's Word, beloved, that we read the Scripture and that we use it in the context for which it appears. I heard one time a man said that the Word of God says that you ought to go out and hang yourself. And another fellow said, "What do you mean? It says that Judas went out and hanged himself, and then in another scripture it says, go and do thou likewise." He pulled the scriptures out of context, and when you pull the scriptures out of context, you can make a scripture say all kinds of things that it doesn't say. And that's where heresies began. That's where false teaching comes from, because of people who pull a scripture out of its setting and try to make it say something that it does not say. And that's why, again, we need to study to show ourselves approved unto God, workmen that need not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And that's what the Scripture means when it says rightly dividing the word of truth. 2 Timothy tells us that. And so, beloved, it's so important that we study the Word of God, and that we meditate upon God's Word, and that we know how to use the Word of God. We're in a warfare. Beloved, we're in a battle against the forces of evil and the principalities, the powers of darkness, the spiritual wickedness in the heavenlies, Satan and all of his demons. We're in a war against the forces of evil and the powers of darkness. That's why we need to know our weapon. That's why we need to know how to use our weapon, how to wield the sword of the Spirit against Satan and against temptation when it comes our way, that we might be able to stand, and having done all, to stand and not give in to the enemy and not fall before the onslaughts of the enemy. So what does Jesus do when Satan tempts him to cast himself down? He says, "For it is written, He shall give His angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone." Here again, he's using pride to tempt Jesus to cast himself down and be lifted up by the angels, and people would see this is the Lord God, and he will not have to go to the cross to die for man's sin. And so Jesus again uses the Word of God, the sword of the Spirit. Note verse 7. Jesus said unto him, "It is written, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." Jesus drew the sword of the Spirit again and slashed away at Satan. And Satan, that stopped the onslaught. That stopped the temptation. Verse 8, "Again the devil taketh them up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth them all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto him, All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me." Here again, he showed him the lust of the eye. He showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And he said, "If you'll fall down and worship me, I'll give all of these to you. And you can become king now." Because you see, beloved, the world system right now is under the god of this world, which is Satan. And it's under his control. And that's why there's so much wickedness and so much sin and so much ungodliness and so much crime and so much suffering and heartache in the world today. It's because of Satan and his evil work in the world. There's coming a day, though, when King Jesus is coming back in power and great glory and will cast Satan into the bottomless pit and set up his own kingdom. Till next time, goodbye.